The moment we left the EU has come and gone, of course. This is how it was celebrated by a small but vocal group outside the locked gates of Stormont on Friday night. The audio from the Belfast Telegraph.
Rain Britannia, Britannia is the waves. Britain never, never, never will be slaves.
Again, we asked to start tonight, I'm going to ask again, how many here are British? Yeah! What? How many here are British? Yeah! How many here are going to remain British? Yeah! Yes, and that message tonight is going to the Dáil, and it's going to Boris. Boris, listen, we're not leaving you. You need us. You need us at the Somme. You needed us at the Boyne. You needed us in Derry, and you need us now.
Well, the South Down MLA, Jim Wells, helped organise the event. Good morning to you, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And the newsletter's deputy editor, Ben Laurie's back with us this morning. Morning again, Ben.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. I'm trying to understand, Jim, why you were up celebrating Brexit when many unionists are saying Brexit has taken us a step closer to a united Ireland. And you're celebrating a deal and you're celebrating an event where the British Prime Minister is clearly not telling you the whole picture when he tells you there's going to be unfettered access between GB and Northern Ireland. Read the document. So you've now got a border down the Irish Sea. Northern Ireland will be economically treated differently than the rest of the UK. And you're up waving your Union Jack.
Well, I personally wasn't, Stephen, just but I do accept there are many who were. Can you just say there were events held throughout the United Kingdom on Friday night to celebrate the departure from the EU, and the folk who were organising the event and asked me to help felt it was appropriate that there be something in this part of the UK. So we held that event at Stormont, but obviously with mixed feelings, because many, many were very happy about the fact that the UK was leaving Europe after 47 years, but concern as to the outworkings of how that's going to be done as far as Northern Ireland is concerned. So there were people who were genuinely ecstatic, as you can hear, that after 47 years we were out. And there are people, that, as was reflected in the speeches on Friday night, who want to see something nailed down on exactly how Northern Ireland's interests are going to be protected in that process.
Well, it depends what you mean by Northern Ireland's interests, but you're up celebrating, you're helping organise an event where people are celebrating a threat. The reality is there's a threat to unionism. What no, are you lot in denial?
If you accept the assurances given by the Prime Minister and by Michael Gove, they have both indicated that it's going to be possible to leave the European Union formally at the end of this calendar year with a seamless transition which will not damage Northern Ireland's position. Now, we're all intrigued and interested to know how that's going to be delivered, and we'll, I know many MPs, our own MPs, will be trying to keep the focus on Boris Johnson to make certain that that happens. So it's an interesting situation we're in at the moment, and we would obviously support the Prime Minister when he says it can be done in a way which doesn't create a border down the Irish Sea.
Ben?
Well, I went along on Friday night, as I said on your show on Friday morning that I was going to do, to talk to people. But just before I tell you the kind of things that people were saying, and they were echoing what Jim was saying, I do think we need to be clear about what's happened. If we just set aside what Boris Johnson is saying, what Michael Gove is saying, let's just put that aside for 1 minute. Northern Ireland is going to be more or less fully aligned in terms of standards of goods. There are two checks. It's all very complicated. We all find it very complicated. But there are essentially two kinds of checks, two kinds of barriers. One is checking standards of goods, regulations, whether or not they adhere to the regulations of the EU, and the other is to do with tariffs. The easier thing to understand is there is an immediate, and there's going to be after the transition, an immediate, a full border for standards of goods. That's not in dispute. Stormont can change that. The more complicated thing is what's going to happen with customs and tariffs. We're technically in the UK customs area, and nominally in the UK customs area, in effect in the EU customs area. But even if you just go for standards of goods, this is a bigger change than the Anglo-Irish Agreement. And in fact, this weekend it became apparent how significant a change it's going to be, because they're beginning to have a bit of a dispute about standards of good, about whether follow regulations. You can hear the British government, Dominic Raab, talking tough, so they're not going to let the European Court of Justice adjudicate that. On that, we are on the EU side. That's it. We are going to be on the EU side. There's a theoretical Stormont return. So in a sense, it doesn't really, it matters very much what Boris Johnson says, but that it isn't changed by that fact, what he says about what he's saying is what's going to happen with customs.
And you hear all this, Jim Wells.
To have people turning up with union flags for that is, to put it mildly, given the uproar that there was over the Anglo-Irish Agreement, and given that there's been nothing like this in 100 years, and it would have been unthinkable 5 years ago, unthinkable, that we would not be fully in the UK internal market, complete freedom of movement of goods from, say, one supermarket in Belfast to a supermarket in Exeter. To have people turning up is a pretty amazing state of affairs.
Well, of course, Ben, you don't yet know how the next stage of negotiations is going to proceed. It could be that the alignment is so close that, in fact, there won't be a need for any form of regulatory checks across the Irish Sea. There's been so many twists and turns.
But if the alignment is so close, what was the point of Brexit in the first place?
Well, because we still will have control of our own trade deals. We will still be able to go out into the world and forge new markets in India or China or USA, and those will be tailor-made for
Listen to what you're doing, Jim. You're saying if the alignment, if this, if that. So you're basically, you've got your unionism, you've got Northern Ireland's place in the UK, and it's now up for some type of gamble as to how wedded to the UK it remains. That's what you Brexiteers have brought upon unionism.
Well, Stephen, there has been so many twists and turns in this whole issue that no one has an idea where we're going to be in a year's time. And what we can say is that our government is pledging to ensure that any damage to Northern Ireland's position is minimised, if not eliminated.
So he's betting the house, Ben Laurie, on Boris Johnson.
Well, this was very apparent when I talked to the people on Friday. And I said, I just asked people, I genuinely was interested to hear, why are you doing this? Why are you here? Are you aware that there's an argument that this is a move towards Irish unity? And there was the full range of responses. There was people cited religion. There's some people have very strong religious objections. And Ian Paisley, religion was all part of the mix. We've had letters from people citing biblical verse. There was a prominent Northern Ireland conservative there who's very confident and bullish about the future. And there were various other reasons given for people explaining that they were there. But one of the things that people kept saying was that we have to trust Boris Johnson and so on. But I do think that there's a failure in that logic. And the failure is a confusion of two things. The withdrawal agreement is done. It's gone. It's done. We're out. Okay? But not only is it done, it went through the House of Commons without a single Tory objecting to what is planned for Northern Ireland. Now, what Jim Wells is, and people who said this at Stormont say is right, that this will be superseded by a trade deal. But it's misleading, because now that the Irish government and the EU have seen that Britain concedes this, that Northern Ireland must stay close to Europe, very close to Europe, effectively in European trade structures, there's not going to be any trade agreement that has any other arrangement. It's just not going to happen. In other words, what has already been passed with the withdrawal agreement in the House of Commons, with not a single Conservative MP, not one. I thought there might be, certainly in the old Parliament, maybe 10, maybe a dozen, maybe even more than that, who would just say, no, this is too important, the dividing of the UK, we can't have this. And there wasn't one. And this is an even more pro-Boris Johnson, pro-Eurosceptic Tory party, okay. A lot of the people who might have changed.
Here's Jim in West Belfast. Morning, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen. I just listened to Ben Laurie there. Ben always baffles me. You know, he just sounds like his head about to explode when he talks about this here. But my point being, as you're a researcher, Arlene Foster and the upper echelons of the DUP unwittingly have done more in the past 3 years to bring about United Ireland than the Republican cause failed to achieve in 40 years of an armed campaign. It baffles me. I watched Arlene on The Late Late Show on Friday night, and Tuberty asked her a question about did she trust Boris Johnson, and she wouldn't actually come out and say she didn't, but you could see she was disappointed. Now, history has shown that especially unionism cannot trust a British Prime Minister. So there is, it doesn't really matter what happens the next year for the Irish cause and for Irish unity. The DUP have delivered on a plate an economic United Ireland, and that's a slow process to United Ireland. And I'd like to ask Ben Laurie, would he concede that the DUP were too trusting of the British government and that Arlene was run by Westminster, cock-a-hoop, propping up a Tory government for Theresa May, and she took her eye off the ball? Because the reality is, the agreement has been through. There is now an economic United Ireland, and that would never have came about if the DUP had have accepted Theresa May's deal. But they didn't, because they thought they were going to get a better deal with Boris. You couldn't trust Boris, and now look at the situation today. Unionism is worse off now than there was. One more point.
Well, let's let Ben respond. No more points. Let's let Ben respond.
Okay. Well, I will. I think it's actually maybe a question that's better put to the DUP, and I'm sure Jim Wells will have some thoughts on that than put to me. But what I would say that unionism needs to have learned from this process, and we have all learned something from the process because it's all been very complicated, is that every wing of the Conservative Party was only prepared to go so far to stand by Northern Ireland as an full part of the UK. It's like Stephen was saying early on. Of course, that is the case. So you have from the most moderate wing, Theresa May, to a more hardline wing, Boris Johnson and people around him. In fact, it was the hardline wing of the Tory party that was most English nationalist and least concerned about. I mean, at least at the time of the Anglo-Irish Agreement, you had some real traditional people talk about empire loyalist types. I mean, that's gone. And that doesn't, who would, in all circumstances, vote for unfettered support for unionism. That is just gone. It's gone.
I didn't ask you that.
It doesn't even exist. I mean, it theoretically exists somewhere in the far reaches of the Conservative Party. You'll find the odd person who argues for it in the websites.
Stephen, could I interject there? I didn't ask Ben that there. I'm asking Ben, and could he agree or disagree? Arlene and the upper echelons of the DUP have done more in the past 3 years to bring about a United Ireland than the Republicans' cause managed failed to do in 40 years.
Let's let Jim Wells try to respond to that.
Well, that wasn't reflected in recent elections for the excellent number of votes.
I didn't ask that there, Jim. I asked you. Jim, you're a very intelligent man. Nobody can detract your intelligence. No.
I think some people might dispute that.
I think some people in the DUP would dispute
that. I know, and I'm talking tongue-in-cheek, but let's get back to reality. I asked you, Jim, The DUP, Arlene and the upper echelons of the DUP, unwittingly or otherwise, have done more in the past 3 years by being mesmerised and hoodwinked by the and charmed by the Tory government. Could you answer the question, Stemple?
Well, quite simply, that has not been reflected in recent elections where the
Finish, for goodness sake.
Let him answer the question. Stop giving a politician those. It's a simple question. It's not rocket science.
I think it's a valid answer to show that if what you're saying is true, then there'd be people flocking to the United Ireland cause. That certainly has
to happen. It's a slippery slope. There's an economic United Ireland in this country that wasn't here 12 months ago. There's an economic United Ireland.
All right. Okay.
Answer the question. Thanks. Jesus, can nobody answer a question this show?
Thank you very much. Stop being so angry, Jim.